After striking gold against San Francisco, it is now Packer Week. Do you have what it takes?
Pressure up the middle is the best pressure you can get on guys like Rodgers and Brady.
Yeah, baby.
They're going to hang 50. They're going to hang a 50 burger.
Good morning, Gjallarhorn. We are back once again after the first week of the season, and our Vikings are 1-0, as we discussed.
1-0.
Earlier this morning on a show that came out of our initial reactions, which was the In the Raw cut was absolutely hilarious. We love doing it and hope to make it a regular of the show.
Did you sober up yet?
Oh, yes, quite.
Oh, that's a bummer.
One could argue In the Raw means drunk off your rear ends. I'm just throwing that out there.
That was a great show. That was a lot of fun doing that yesterday.
Yes, it was. Today, we have a special announcement. We are bringing on the third wheel to Good Morning Gjallarhorn. Grabbing his oar is Mr. Ted Glover. Welcome Woo-hoo! To the show, Ted.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me to be on your show. Looking really forward to it. And
Ted Glover, everybody.
Skull Vikes, man. Go Bucks.
Great to have you here, dude. This is going to be awesome. I'm really glad that you're going to be spending a little bit of time with us. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate you guys inviting me. Thanks for asking me to be the third wheel.
Let's get something. Hey, third wheel. Let's get something out there real quick. No Ohio State shit on this show.
Go Bucks.
Oh, it's gonna be it's on now. We're gonna
find out this. It's on like Donkey Kong.
Or SMU, one of the two.
Hey, where are your birds at? Because they squawk as much as Harbaugh does.
Hey birds, get over here. We got Buckeye to deal with. No, sorry, don't be scared. It's not Urban Meyer. There's no reason to be scared.
That was rude. I'm sorry. You mean Zach Smith, but whatever.
Zach Smith, you have no reason to be scared. You can come over. Come on, Princess. Come here. Good to have you here, dude. It's really, really going to be fun. I'm looking forward
to it. Me too. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
And every tricycle needs a third wheel. So it was either that or he's our resident weather girl.
I've never heard that before.
Wow.
So
you should say you should probably rename the show Good Morning Tricycle then.
Could be. Well, we came after this last week. We defeated the San Francisco 49ers, and I was curious of your impression of that, Ted.
It was a good win. I think, like Mike Zimmer said, got a lot of areas they need to clean up. I thought Kirk Cousins looked, for the most part, good. I thought he had a very good first half. Sort of slowed down with the rest of the offense in the second half. The defense was better than they were the second half of the Saints game in the playoffs and then the NFC Championship game. Still, man, they gave up some uncharacteristically big plays, which I haven't really seen the last couple of years under Mike Zimmer. I think that said, there's a lot of good you could take away. That front four is ferocious. Daniil Hunter, Everson Griffin, Griffin, and Linval Joseph are going to eat all year long. I mean, the 49ers have they've got a pretty decent offensive line. And the pressure the Vikings front four was putting on for the most part all day really forced, Jimmy interception into a lot of mistakes. They were able to run the ball between the tackles a little bit better than I thought they would with Sheldon Richardson there. But there were some bad things, but there were a lot of good things. I mean, a lot of people called it like the fifth preseason game, and in some ways it was, but I'd like to see Dalvin Cook run a little bit better with the football, but I, you know, a win is a win, man. And San Francisco, everybody says, well, San Francisco was 6-10. Yeah. But they were a completely different team with Jimmy Garoppolo last year. And sure. And I think they're a lot better football team than they were for the most part last year. And I think they're going to be a good football team. And it was a good way to start the season.
I agree. It was a very good way. And I just, before we started to record the show, and for those that you want to know, it's Monday night. Games are on in the background. Detroit's getting their butts waxed.
Oh, they're getting their tits licked big time. It is an ass whooping going on in Detroit. So I'm in a good mood because I got it in the corner of the room and all I see is Jets scoring. It's great. But go ahead.
Right before we came on the show, and we're recording Monday night, if you need to know, I saw a post from one of the PFF graders, I believe he's a grader, saying that Xavier Rhodes in the game against Seattle or against San Francisco only had one ball thrown his way. And it was intercepted.
Intercepted. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
That's the definition of Rhodes closed.
Yeah, that's a good stat. Did you know, Ted and Dave, that San Francisco only threw three passes to their wide receivers all day?
I didn't realize that.
Seriously? Three passes for 27 yards, baby. That's it.
Was everything else Kittle over the middle?
Kittle over the middle! That's it. Three catches for 27 yards. We shut them down.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, yeah. You know, the Vikings secondary, they're legit, man. I really think they are. And even when Trey Waynes went down, Mac Alexander didn't even play.
Right.
Mike Hughes showed out, and he played good football. I mean, he gave up that one big pass to Dante Pettis, I think it was.
Right.
And even Jayron Kearse, safety, played – what, 25 snaps in the nickel slot, I think it was, or 20-something, low 20s. And he did pretty well. I mean
– he did pretty decent. He scares me when he's in there too. So I was kind of surprised. I was happy with this.
I got to say, man, I really the stuff that the Vikings kind of screwed up on or made mistakes, whatever it is you want to call it, I think they're very correctable issues. And if they can eliminate those big plays, which they did a very good job of last year – that defense is going to be very tough to score on.
Yes. It's almost like a risk reward. Every play seems like it's either going to be a 7-yard loss or they're hitting Kittle over the middle. It was like,
yeah,
I don't know, but I don't see it. There's no weak spots really anywhere on that defense. We got depth. Let's say it. Gideon's not that good in coverage. He's probably the weakest guy. We got Wilson waiting in the wings in case Gideon doesn't cut it. He's not playing well.
And Kentrell Brothers, I mean, when he comes off his 4-game suspension.
True, but I also expect to see more of that heavy nickel where they bring in that third safety. Now, it did surprise me that Kearse was the third safety and not George Iloka. That surprised the heck out of me, but Kearse did a good job.
Who the hell's Iloka?
I don't know him.
Now, Trey Waynes got hurt in this game, and the young Mike Hughes moved over into his spot and did outstandingly.
I think so.
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well.
I thought he was fantastic. And with Alexander out, and I don't suspect that Trey Waynes is going to be out long because he realizes if he's out, Hughes is going to take his job.
Zimmer said today during his press conference that he fully expects Waynes to practice this week. So whatever his injury was appears to be very minor. But, you know, how the Vikings are with injuries sometimes.
Right. How do you guys feel about Cook? What about his return? How did he look yesterday? What do you guys – give me some words on that.
Go ahead, Dave.
PFF had him at the number two most elusive back in the league this weekend, even though he had a small yards per carry number. I thought he looked good. I was surprised at how much work he did get. I would like to see him get more open in space with more screens, believe it or not. That's also line dependent. Hopefully we'll have Pat Elflein back this week. But I thought he looked good. I also thought Latrain coming in did his thing as well. I thought it was very good. I'm pleased. We've got skilled players around the board in the backfield and on the edges.
We've got two damn good running backs, man. We really do. It's a good change of pace. We don't have McKinnon, but something about Murray, the way he's hitting the hole this year. I mean, the upright thing, the running upright, it's weird to me because it seems like he wouldn't get anywhere, but he does. And he's hitting the holes all preseason, even yesterday, but I thought he would get in there a little sooner, but both the backs, we got a hell of a running game. Again, well, we got depth there too.
Murray was hurt part of last year. And I think this year he's 100% and we're seeing it. And I, you know, he took the pay cut to stay. I actually think he's given it his just absolute best.
That was part of what I wanted to ask you guys about was when we went stagnant with the offense. I mean, going up to Wisconsin this week, Kirk Cousins to me is like a top three play action quarterback. To me, he's really good with play action.
I think statistically he was one of the top two or three guys, actually.
So when you get your running game going, right, that only opens up the play action even more. And I'd like – that's where I was – we kind of got away from that in the second half, and I was going, I don't know what's up with DeFilippo, but he's kind of lost some pages in the play. He's like he's playing prevent, you know. I don't know.
Half, I thought the first half he did a pretty good job of calling plays and mixing in Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook got a lot more work early in the game than I thought he was going to. I thought they were going to maybe break him in a little bit more slowly, but they didn't. They went right to him right away, and it was great to see. That tells me they have a lot of confidence in him, and he's really legitimately 100% healthy. The only thing that bothered me was in the second half. I think the Vikings got a little bit too conservative and were playing – I don't want to say they were playing not to lose because they were still moving the ball. They just weren't executing as well in the second half that they were in the first half. I thought Cousins made a couple of not bad throws, but if you look at the tape, I think there were probably guys in particular plays that he threw to that weren't open where other guys might have been open, and hopefully that's something that is not a regular occurrence. But they still, you know, in the second half, they got that drive going. Cousins made some great throws, had that great touchdown throw to Rudolph, and the defense stepped up at the end. I can't really complain a whole lot, but I mean, you can because we're Vikings fans. That's what we do.
No, it's just, you know, we had a three and out, then you have another three and out, then you have another three and out. And then when you get your fourth possession after three and outs, I was kind of hoping – let's go play action a little pass to the tight end. Let's try to do something a little different on this drive.
Yeah, and that was one thing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, man.
No, and I don't think we have to wait four drives to get that. And you know what? Say what you want about Shermer. He would – when it got to be getting to a rut, he would do something like that. He'd go play action. He'd have Keenum roll out and hit Rudolph for like a 21-yard out in the flat. You know, something to shake it up a little bit.
I did a post on Daily Norseman last year, and I it was an incredible stat. I looked at how many consecutive three and out drives did with Keenum and Shermer and all that, and it was something they only had. And I wrote it when the season was pretty much complete. The season wasn't completely over, I don't think. But I think they only had three consecutive three and out drives, something like two or three times last year. It was an amazing statistic.
Really?
Because when the offense needed to stay on the field and give the defense a rest, they absolutely were able to do that. And the game that really comes to mind is Washington last year.
Bam.
When Keenum threw that, Washington scored, then Keenum threw that interception that got down to the goal line. And then the Redskins scored again, and they were within a touchdown.
Sure.
The Vikings offense drove. They ate the clock and had like a 12 or 13 play drive. that kicked a field goal and iced the game. That's right. What Kirk Cousins needs to do in the fourth quarter. If he does that, the Vikings are going to be extremely difficult to beat.
Well, we could have put that game away a lot earlier than we did if we'd have just did that.
Yes,
I agree. We were just doing the three and out and the run up the middle and the three and out. And I'm watching this going, this is like sluggo. Come on, man. Do something a little different. Let's keep the ball for a while.
It was almost Musgrave-ish.
Can't leave teams in the game. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up with you guys. You know, I'm beyond sick of seeing that, letting teams hang around. I mean, Vikings are notorious. You know, 10-0, then 10-3. Then they go up 17-3, then it's 17-10. Then it's 17-13. Then it's 20-13. And it's like, why can't it be 31-0? I want to see them bury some teams. And they don't seem to have that in them.
Like they were up 24-6 at one point, though.
What?
I mean, they were up 24-6 at one point yesterday. They just, like you said.
Yeah, that's slam them down. That's when you got to end it.
I absolutely agree. And that's exactly when they went into the – they had the, what, two or three consecutive three and out drives. And then, you know, the 49ers were able to get back into it. But credit to the Vikings. When that happened, the defense rose up, and then the Vikings were able to make a couple drives. And they did close the game out at the end.
Which brings to the point of championship teams find a way to get these wins and don't squander them away like Chicago, as my uncle would say. God,
Chicago.
God damn Chicago. I can't stand Chicago. Fucking Chicago. He always complained about the Bears. That Bobby Douglas. I'm going to kill that guy.
Bobby Douglas.
Oh, yeah. He wanted to kill Bobby Douglas. He hated him.
Oh, Steve Young before Steve Young.
Bobby Douglas is way old. That's 70s.
But it was a good game overall, and I love that interior push, which brings us to our next topic. This is Packer Week. And we get to go up to Lambeau Field and make Mr. Rogers' neighborhood absolutely miserable for him.
Well, that's all what it comes down to. Every time we play these guys for years and years, it always comes down to how you're going to handle one person. It's him.
Before him.
And he got hurt last night in the Chicago game, right? Got carted off.
That was a bunch of dramatic BS to try to impress Danica Patrick.
You think he was faking it?
He's a total faker. He's not hurt. He's a liar.
See,
he wasn't hurt. He wanted to make this big dramatic entrance back out onto the field. You know what? Come on.
I think he was hurt. I mean, if you look at the replay, his knee bent in a funny angle. And at first I thought he might have had a ACL tear.
He's got the discount double check.
Well, I saw reports today that it's a sprained MCL.
Yeah, and they're not sure if he's going to play. What they're doing is they're milking that for all it's worth, and he's going to come out and make some dramatic entrance and play at the last minute.
Without a doubt. I mean,
I think he's going to be really hampered by that injury, though.
Well, which works against them. Because in that first half, Chicago was getting massive pass rush and in his face all the time, especially in the interior. And we've got Linval and Sheldon Richardson on the interior, besides our two great defensive ends. And I absolutely see I see him going, oh, my knee hurts. I'm taking the night off. I don't want to die tonight. And that we face Heiser, and then we're going to hear excuses the rest of the season about, well, we're only one game behind because Aaron Rodgers didn't play, or something to that effect.
Hey,
well,
what do you guys think? Let me ask you guys a question.
Ask away.
Did you guys watch the game last night, the Packers-Bears game?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
I watched it and then rewatched a little of it because I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Like Dave mentioned, in the first half, the Bears were putting an ungodly amount of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. The defensive line was getting a push. Khalil Mack was an absolute terror. And then in the second half, when Rodgers came back, they quit. They just dropped back into coverage and didn't do anything. And
they
just
were trying to
Rodgers, They let Rodgers sit back there. Yeah, they. I didn't get that at all. It made absolutely no sense to me at all.
The TTFW started out. McCarthy says this is how we're going to run it in the first quarter. They dropped Rodgers back and they were trying the seven step thing. Wait 3 or 4 seconds. Check all the, all the zones and check all the receivers and all the progressions. And after 2 or 3 series, McCarthy went, this shit's not going to work. You notice when he came back, how many 7-step drops did you do when he came back?
None. It was all not quick one. Stuff.
It was that, and that's what, and that's going to help Zimmer. Zimmer should look at that and say, that's exactly what they're going to do with us.
Yeah, they probably are. And I still think the Vikings need to bring a ton of pressure through the A gaps, because even if they don't get to Rodgers, they're going to disrupt his timing and they're still going to hit him. And I think that's going to be a big key to the game.
Pressure up the middle is the best pressure you can get on that's guys like Rodgers and Brady. Yeah, baby. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if he's gimpy around, he can't get it on the perimeter, because that's where Rodgers hurts you, is on the perimeter.
Especially if he can get outside the pocket and make a play. And I don't think he'll be able to do that, because his knee, he looked – I mean, I appreciate the fact that a lot of people think he was kind of being dramatic and faking it. But I think that knee is really sore, and I don't think he's going to be nearly as mobile as he usually is. And that is a huge component in his game. And that's one of the things that makes him so stinking good, that makes me so frustrated. The Vikings,
if you take his mobility out, I mean, it just ramps up the advantage our way a whole hell of a lot more.
I absolutely agree.
But Zimmer's seen him enough. Zimmer knows how to defense Aaron Rodgers. We all, him and Greenway. Greenway used to help a lot on the defense because he's seen Rodgers play so much. When we had Greenway, yeah. I felt really good going into the matchups with them, because he had seen him so much he could advise other people around him. Mm-hmm. Zimmer knows.
Now, on the opposite side of the ball, Kirk Cousins, I thought, was extremely efficient Sunday. I expect to see much of the same. I did like that Thielen got more involved, but I do expect to see more Rudolph and spreading the ball around, but I don't see that their defense isn't that good at all. I mean, their team is basically based around one person, and he doesn't play defense. So I haven't looked, and I probably need to bring it up. What is the opening line this week on this game? I thought I heard it was 1 point.
I have not.
Point and a half. Yet. I've seen 1.5. Packers are favored.
Okay. You're kidding me. That's
that makes sense. It's at home. And they won. They won in dramatic fashion. Yeah, 1.5 sounds about right.
Well, it should see how, or we should watch and monitor this week how that moves. During the last game, the Vikings were Vikings +5 or San Francisco +5, however that goes. But by the end of the week, Vikings were favored by 6.5.
Correct.
So it grew by 1.5. And I'm curious if it's going to grow this week with the Packer game.
I think it all depends on Aaron Rodgers. Oh, sorry, Drew. Go ahead, man.
No, I took him to cover and I won money, but that's regardless. It doesn't matter. my gambling problem is not part of the show. Yeah, actually it is. I did really good on my parlays yesterday, but that's another story. Yeah. The line, we'll be watching. It'll fluctuate for the end of the week, but we can't blow this game, guys. This is one we got to have. Good teams like the 49er game. That might have been a game 3 or 4 years ago we lose, because we used to blow games like that.
I absolutely 100% agree.
And we, the old saying is championship teams find ways to win. It doesn't matter how you win as long as you win. So,
that's a great point. And that's one thing that this team has learned how to do under Mike Zimmer. Before Zimmer got hired, what were the things the Vikings were known for? Not being able to win away from home. Not being able to win outside. Not being able to win outside on grass. Can't win in Chicago, and couldn't win in prime time.
Now I'm depressed.
Up until the NFC Championship last year, these last 2 years, starting in 2015, 2016 is kind of an anomaly because all the stinking injuries on the offensive line and Teddy and AP, whatever.
Right.
But the Vikings have learned how to win those games that they didn't used to win. And it's been so refreshing. And I really like Minnesota's chances, even if Aaron Rodgers was healthy. I mean,
sure.
Because when he was healthy the last, what, two out of three times, the Vikings beat him.
Right. You know what, Ted? Even though they came back and won that game yesterday, they don't look as scary as they normally look.
No, they don't.
On either side of the ball, they look. I was watching my wife. My wife's saying, "We're going to roll both these teams, Drew. We're going to roll them into a ball."
Their secondary is very pedestrian. I think they've got a couple of good players that are going to be decent cornerbacks, and Jerry Alexander and the guy they drafted from Iowa in the second round, Josh Jackson, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. Right.
I think those guys are going to be good, but they're going to have a lot of growing pains as rookies. The rest of their defense, other than, was it Mitch Daniels, is in the middle. Their defensive line is pretty good. Their linebackers aren't very good at all. Their offensive line isn't very good. Their running game is still terrible. It's Aaron Rodgers and his 21 gang.
In general, they just don't look like – they don't look as dynamic, I guess is the word you used – we used to face it.
No.
I feel like we have way more talent going in there. You know, it's –
yeah.
It's one of those games like we do every week. What's our biggest, you know, nemesis on losing this game? If we kill ourselves, if we beat ourselves, that's what kind of, that's why we're turning the corner on being a team that might have a chance to be a dynasty team.
Let me ask you, since we're going into the Sunday game at Lambeau, what do you think the final result is going to be, Drew?
Vikings will win this game. I picked 24-13 on week one. Establish that. Get my gambling out there right away. Vikings will win this game 34-17. We do not let them go over 17. That's our mode. That's quote all year. 17 or less. Mendoza line. And we hold it again this week. 34-17. Double them up.
What do you think, Ted?
27-23. Vikings.
Oh, you've got it a lot closer than I would.
Well, here's my thing. I don't know. It kind of depends. Let me say that. If Aaron Rodgers plays, I think the Packers will scheme to limit his mobility and do a bunch of quick hitters and all that kind of stuff. And I think the Packers will kind of hang around, but the Vikings will do it in the end. If DeShone Kizer has to play, 50-0 Vikings.
Dude, that guy looked like he looked like he was on bong rips last night. He's terrible, dude.
If you're Mike McCarthy, how do you seriously look at game film of Kizer and Brett Hundley? And Brett Hundley's not great, but he is miles better than Kizer.
That Kizer guy, that's bad.
Terrible.
Well, here's wishing for Kizer. Even without, I still think I'm going to go with. We're up in that 34-point range, and we keep them down to 17. I agree with Drew. I suspect this will be a statement game for the Vikings this season, and that they're going to go in there.
You know,
after a week of getting Zimmer size 12 up their posteriors, I think they're going to go make a statement. That's what I'm saying. So
okay, you guys are more optimistic than I.
Meow meow.
And you guys are as old as I am. You should be as fatalistic as I am.
I do have pessimistic tendencies, but no, I do believe we're going to win. That will wrap up today's show. And
cool, dude.
As everybody watches, I want to thank Ted for joining the Gallahorn. Good morning, Gallahorn team.
I'm really excited. He's more than a third wheel to me.
Yeah, like a fifth wheel.
I'm buying for a good present from Africa too. I want something to bring me back something.
Yeah? What do you want? What do you want? I'll bring you some Ebola virus. How's that sound?
Some what?
Ebola virus.
Yeah, bring some of that back. I'll take it up to Wisconsin. I'll put it in the water supply.
My nickname come October will be Patient Zero.
You can bring me back a Stefan if you want. You run into her.
Yeah. Don't know that I can get that, but we'll see what I can do.
No, it's good to have you here, man. I love your knowledge and your passion for football. And this is actually the first time I've really been able to talk football with you. I mean, we talk sometimes in the group, but
yeah.
But you guys both, or Dave didn't, but you beat me in the game of Skull this week, but we can go second on that this week. So
good to have
you aboard, man.
I appreciate the invite and looking forward to it. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
Sweet, dude.
Speaking of your wagering there, Drew.
Yeah.
Climbing the Pocket Network has a new sponsor. It is Thrive Fantasy.
Right.
And where Thrive Fantasy has, it's not your normal daily fantasy football type wagering. They have prop bets.
Sure.
How many yards will Kirk Cousins throw? 250 plus or minus. They have all sorts of different bets. And if you sign up with Thrive Fantasy to play these cool prop bets, because they are cool, $10, if you're using the Climbing the Pocket Network code, $10, you get matched 10 for your first 10, but $10 comes from Thrive Fantasy to us at Climbing the Pocket Network. So that helps us tremendously. Anyways.
No, I do prop betting too. So I'll look, I'll look into that. That's I like doing prop betting. I do it once in a while. One time I threw $10 down on if Treadwell got a touchdown, it paid me $100, but he didn't. But you know, it's kind of fun, kind of a stupid bet, but they're fun. It's a fun way to gamble. So
yes. Okay, All right. We're at the end of the show. What do you have to say there, Mr. Ted?
About what, Mr. Dave?
about hail to the victors valiant, hail to the conquering hero, hail to Michigan.
So Drew, let me ask you, how do you celebrate or how do you review old undisputed national championships with Michigan? Do you pull out old cablegrams from Western Union? Our boys in blue were awesome. Stop. Oh, shall be home on the train by Thursday next. Stop. Hopefully the Buffalo don't stop the tracks. End.
Come on, Urban. You know how it is. We're plotting a revenge. It's going to be all the more sweet when we get Brady Hoke back.
Yeah, what, in 2026?
My grandson's 50.
On that note, I just want you to know, Drew, my oldest grandsons are 5. They live in a world where Michigan has never beaten Ohio State.
All right, it's time to end the show now.
They're in kindergarten now. Just saying.
Just to let you know, everybody,
we're wagering this will
continue.
We are wagering all season long. We're having a huge bet come Thanksgiving this year.
I don't bet for money because I'm horrible. I'm a horrible gambler, but I'll do a prop bet or something like a avatar or make me wear a Michigan gear on the show or something like that. I'll do something like
that. All right, let's do that.
All right. We got to wrap it up, guys.
All right.
What do you have to say, Drew?
Meow, meow, Viking cow. Okay. George Kittle caught another. George Kittle.
Over the middle. Looking forward to this week. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate being part of the team.
Skol, everybody. Vikings win. Vikings win.